Today's daf in Masechet Eruvin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. We're holding on daf Ayin Gimel today, and we're right at the final line of daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis. And we're talking about the case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah spoke about a family where you have kids, married kids, that are living in nearby homes, and they are all eating, it says, Al Shulchan Avihem. And in that case, even though they sleep in their own homes, it's said that that even though they are sleeping in their own homes, if they're brothers, so you still have to make an Erev. And if one of them didn't make an Erev, you would need Bittul. But if the Erev came to them from the other Chatzeres, then they don't need an Erev. So that was the introduction again, in terms of de jure, into a concept that we had earlier yesterday, which was the concept of the gradations of Erev, where the Erev comes into this case of the Traklin. Of course, we had two very, very different aspects about this Traklin. Either it was a question of the Mechitzas was the issue of the Traklin. That was one approach. And then it would have to do with how high the Mechitzas were, how tough the Mechitzas were. But the other explanation that we had was that it was a completely different issue that we were talking about, and it had to do with the question, this machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, had to do with the question of whether bichlal it's possible, even if you are considered to be joined, whether it's possible, a libra Beit Shammai, to be viewed as a single unit just because you all happen to be together. And there, too, we learned the difference between people bringing the Erev into the Traklin or people in the Traklin bringing the Erev elsewhere. So this would be a continuation of that idea. So the Gemara had originally concluded that this proves that if you live in a different house, even though you eat in the same area and you eat in the father's house, it depends where your bedroom is, basically, right? Now, that was a problem, as we're going to see today. Because Rav says it goes according to where you eat. It's the pot that defines the Erev. And what our initial take on that mission, according to Rav, was very simple, that the language of Ochlin al Shulchan Aveihem is metaphorical. It doesn't mean they're literally eating at the father's table. It means that they're being supported by the father. And therefore, they actually have completely separate homes, separate kitchen, separate dining room, separate bedroom. And all that the Mishnah is saying, that the fact that you are mekabli pras, that does not make you all one big happy family, except for the question of where other people will bring the Erev into your house. So in other words, what we see there is that there's a level of interrelationship that actually can be triggered by the presence of other people's Erev or by the presence of other people in the Chotzer. We'll get into that today and understand exactly what the meaning is of the words bringing the Erev to you from elsewhere. Because, of course, that could have two different meanings. It could be that another Chotzer is bringing you their Erev in order to be Ma'ariv with you. But it could also mean that there are other people living in the Chotzer and they chose your home to put their Erev into. And that might be very different. Because remember that yesterday we understood that a Libra Beit Shammai, even five people that literally made an Erev with each other, they could not just send out an Erev through one of them into another Chotzer to extend it. They would need for everybody to send it out. So we'll see that there are two different meanings. So we get to the Iker question. And the Iker question is, what is the definition of the Mokom Dira exactly? So when we talked about yesterday, the only type of thing that is considered to be your place is a place that you actually would live in. But if you have a place that you're not living in, it's not considered to be your house. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean literally that you have to be living in it, because we said if you've got a garage and you store your wood in that chutzner, that is also considered to be something that would be oisur alav beit haitzim, beit haotzarot. So a garage is a problem. So if we're talking eno oisur Rabbi Yehuda Shita, then eno oisur elam mokum dira, the question is, what would exactly define that dira? And Rabbi Yehuda brought a raya from the Maisein Usha. So this is a machlokas. So today we begin with my makom dira. So what exactly was Rabbi Yehuda saying? Only a makom dira, and the Chachomi Paskin and Usha, only a makom dira, and not a garage. What exactly is a makom dira? So Rav says what defines the makom dira is the makom pita. It's wherever the bread is, meaning wherever you eat. And Shmuel says it's where your bedroom is. So now we've got a problem from a Braita, because the Braita says that if you've got people that are basically working outdoors, and they have to sleep outdoors, so you've got either shepherds or the people that take care of the figs that are drying out over the summer in the field, they're called kayatsin, or you've got the burgenin that we've had many times, and those are people. I just started Barnea. These are shomrim that are in various little sukkot or lean-tos. And you've got people that watch over the payroll that have been picked, that they shouldn't be stolen overnight, whatever. So if they usually would sleep in the city, then they're part of the city when it comes to the tchum of Shabbos. And we're assuming for this purpose that the definition of their mokum shvita vis-a-vis the tchum of Shabbos is the same as the definition of where they live vis-a-vis the chatzar. So it says over here that if they go to sleep in the city, so let's say, I don't know, they work until 3 a.m. and then they go to sleep, then they are considered like anybody else. And their tchum on Shabbos begins from the edge of the city in all directions, 2,000 amos. But if they usually sleep outdoors and then they don't come back to sleep in town, so then they only have the tchum starting from where they currently are. So they get 2,000 amos in all directions from that place. If those 2,000 amos end in the middle of the city, in the direction of the city, they're not going to get any kind of additional area in the city in their tchum. So what this shows is that it's where you sleep. It says it all depends on where you sleep. So this means that even though they go home to eat, that the fact that they sleep outdoors where they're working, that is where their mokum of shvisa is. So, well, says the Gemara, yes, of course. Because sleeping doesn't mean that you put out a sleeping bag and you sleep there. Sleeping means where you feel your kviyut of sleep would be. Now, in this case, let me tell you, if lamaisa, the difference between sleeping and eating, same thing, the sleeping can't only mean you put out a sleeping bag for a little bit. And the eating doesn't mean you're starving, so you go back home to eat the way you would go to a diner. Okay, let me ask you something. Suppose we tell these people who are going to be sleeping outdoors, listen, you know, we're going to also bring you your food out to where you are. Do you prefer going home or would you eat out in the field? So they were, of course, I'd rather eat in the field. I would spend 2 hours going home and coming back again. So therefore, we have anansahad. The imam tulu riftahasam, tvei nechalu. They would be much prefer to have their food brought to them than schlep back. So that means psychologically, in that case, of course, we're not going to look at the pot, which happens to be back home, as a contradiction to where they're sleeping. They would prefer that it was all in one place. Now, Rav Yosef says that, as we often had, Rav Yosef says, I don't remember any of this. I don't remember Rav saying Bichlal that it all goes according to where you eat. Says it by it to Rav Yosef. What do you mean you don't remember? You were the one who taught it to us. And I'll tell you what you taught it to us about. You taught it to us about the Mishnah that we learned yesterday. The Mishnah yesterday said that if the Achim were eating al Shulchan Avim, but they're all sleeping in their own separate homes, they need an Erev. So we told you, your Talmidim, Rabbi Yosef, we told you when we learned that Mishnah, that implies apparently that it goes according to where you sleep and not where you eat. And that was a problem with Rav's shot, because Rav had said it goes according to where you eat. And we asked you, so how do you square that with Rav? And you told us that Rav Yehuda said that when Rav explained the Mishnah, Rav said it did not mean they were eating on the Shulchan Aviyam literally. It was metaphorical, that they were being supported by their father. That's all that it meant. But Eino Chinami, Rav would have held, if they have separate homes, but they come for their meals to the father's house, then we would never have said that they're considered to be separate people and they all require an Erev. And the technical name for this was Mikable Pras. They are people that are being supported. Okay, so now we've got obviously other cases that are also interrelationships that are fundamentally supportive relationships. In other words, the Gemara is not assuming that just because you have, let's say you have a rich man who is supporting a couple of poor men, that those poor people, because they require their parnassus from the rich man, are not going to be considered to be a separate family. We would never have thought that. It's because of the combination of the relationship and the fact of the support that therefore we say, okay, so then really they do view themselves as a single family, essentially, right? So what about other types of relationships that also include support? So let's talk about a chotzer, where basically there's a guy who's married to five different women, and each of them, boy, this guy's got serious child support problems, and he is supporting every single one of those women. So they're all in this chotzer, right? Or you may have five in the good old days, you know, when everybody had five servants, you know, but you were supporting all your servants. Each one of the servants, actually, back in the yeshiva in Baltimore, the yeshiva was initially in this mansion, which had like all of these rooms for the servants. It was like a pre-Civil War thing. It had all the rooms for the servants lined up in the back, you know, and the main house belonged to the slave owners, you know, and the rest of it was you have the avadim that are in the same chatzar. So you may have five avadim that are makabli pras from whoever the master is. Is that type of relationship also considered to be the same type of relationship of an av and bein? Now, this is a machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira says, well, when it comes to women, yes, the relationship of husband and wife that's supportive is considered to be all one by it, even though they all have their own separate, like Ohel Leah and Ohel Rachel and so on. Well, when it comes to Avadim, he does not consider Avadim to be a relationship that would be viewed as a single family. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, he says the opposite is true. When it comes to Avadim, yes, then it's all one happy family. But when it comes to the wife, that is not the case because the wife leads a completely separate life in her chotzer, and just because she's getting child support, she ain't fooling nobody. And therefore, she's in her own separate life. So over there, she would need a separate chotzer. Omar Rav, you know, why does Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava feel that when it comes to Avadim, that essentially it's all one family? He has a raya from Daniel. Daniel, remember, was the Eved of the Melech. And what it says in the Pasuk in Daniel is that Daniel was Bitra Malka, meaning that Daniel was in the gate of the king, which, like, what does that mean? I mean, he was all day long. That's the only place that he was, the gate of the king. So we understand that to mean that wherever Daniel was, that was the gate of the king. In other words, that he was so connected to the king because of being a prime minister that made him and the king be essentially one chotzer. So it's one bayit over here. And the Tra Malka Tosis points out from the Rabbeinu Hananel that the Gemara is also playing a pun game over here, because Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, the word Bava means the gate, and Bitra Malka means in the gate of the king. So therefore, it's not just what's the svara, it's that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is very focused on gates. So you can remember that if the Pasuk says that Daniel was in the gate, so that was Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava's approach to the sugya. Okay. Anyway, so let's go over the cases that we have over here so far. We've got a son with a father, and we said that that was Makabli Pras, and according to Rav, that was the point in the Mishnah, and you need separate Erevin. Okay. Isha Eitzel Baala. Well, that we said, or an Eved Eitzel Rabo, that we said was a machlokas. In which direction? That was a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, as we just learned. Now, what would be the din of the relationship of a Rav and a Talmud in this kind of situation? So very often what you have is that where you have like a yeshiva, and everybody gets a stipend from the kollel and so on, and they're all living like the Zilbermans, let's say, right? So everybody's living in this chotzer. They all are being mekabli a stipend from the kollel. And that would mean that if we view the relationship, if they have a real Rav Talmud relationship, would that be the equivalent of the Av Ubno, or would that be closer than Av Ubno? So can we include the Talmud in the overall Rav's Erev, or does each one need an Erev for himself if he has a separate area? Obviously, if you're married kettle people, they all have their own home and so on, where they're eating in, but they're mekablik pras. Says the Gemara, Tashma, when Rav was a Talmud in the yeshiva of Reb Chiya, he said, we don't need to have anything to do with the Erev over here, because we actually are semech al shulchono shel Rebbe Chiya, and therefore, it's basically the same idea as Rav, as Av Ubeno, where we actually would eat sometimes on the table. And Reb Chiya said the same thing when he was in the yeshiva of Rebbe, that, you know, well, we could get together for Shabbos, and we have a tish and whatever. It means over here for support, and actual, some say actual ones. So why are we actually will eat there? So according to this, it would mean that it's closer than the relationship of the Av Uben that are only being mekabli pras. Let me ask something else. Now, here we get to the core of the issue we were talking about yesterday, which was the case of Chamisha Shegavu at Eruvan. This was a braita. And it turned out the way that we wanted to learn the sugya yesterday, that this braita was actually part of the question in the Mishnah of the traklin. This was one way of understanding the machlokes Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So if you have five people that collected their Erev together, so now they have an Erev. Now they want to actually add the next door chatzar to which there is a door. They want to add that chatzar to allow them to be able to actually go from one chatzar to the other to carry. And they therefore are going to be molechet eruvam l'makom acher. So they're going to bring their Erev into one of the houses in the other chatzar there. And does one person achieve that for everyone, since one of the people who put his Erev in this chatzar, if he's molech his Erev now to the other chatzar, does that basically bring all of them into the other chatzar, or does every single person need to do this? Now, look, I mean, before we had a braita, I mean, were we pretending that Abai didn't know the braita at all? So Rashi says, well, I mean, either he hadn't heard the braita, or he realized that since it was a machlokas yesterday, because we made this braita the subject of one approach to the Mishnah of traklin, so he wanted to know how exactly did Rabba understand it? Did Rabba understand that we end up saying that for sure this braita is correct, and that if you were go over the Erev, one can do it for all? Or did Rabba understand it differently? Tosfos understands that, of course, Abaya understood the braita, and he understood the variations, and he only brought up this braita as an opening to what he was about. He knew what Rabba was going to say, and he wanted to be able to start off the conversation in a way that would enable him to ask Rabba from the Mishnah. So Rabba answers him with, according to Tosfos, with what Abaya expected. And he says, look, there's a braita that says, Eruv Echad Lekulam. And that opens the door for Abaya to ask him from the Mishnah. So how do you explain the fact that Achim, who are being supported by the father in their Mekable Pras, I mean, so then that is the equivalent of collecting one Erev, isn't it? Because, I mean, the halacha is, if nobody else is in that chotzer, so then they don't need to join the Erev. So that means that they're basically one family, right? And that means that they're the same as five different homes that collected an Erev. Same thing. Five homes that collected an Erev are joined, so to speak, as one happy family. The father and son, when no one else is in the Erev, we don't say, since everybody else makes an Erev, they need to make an Erev. We don't say that. So nobody else is there. Okay, so then why does it say over there that if they're Govu, nonetheless, the Mishnah says they need an Erev for every single one if they're going to bring their Erev to the other chatzar? Says Rabbah, you misunderstand the Mishnah. Your understanding of the Mishnah was that the difference between their joining the Erev, l'mokom acher, and bringing the Erev into the house was fundamentally describing a situation in which they are the only people in their chatzar, and they're trying to extend their chatzar into the next chatzar, and you understood that to mean that every single person has to join the next chatzar, which is why you're asking me. You're wrong. when the Mishnah was talking about bringing the Erev from outside into their house, or their exporting their Erev, it wasn't talking about a normal way of exporting an Erev into a next door chotzer. It's the difference between having other people in the chotzer or not. That's the difference. So in the Mishnah, when it says that they need to make an Erev, that's talking about where there are other people living there. And the Ika Diyorim Be'adayu said, they're not the only people in the chotzer. So when the Mishnah wrote, Bizman Shemolichin Eruvan B'mokam Acher, it didn't mean to another chotzer, it meant into their own chotzer, because there were other people living there. And that's a whole different situation. Because Kivan De'ika Diyorim Be'adayu, that's the point. Therefore, I say there's a migum. And this is another one of the gradations. We spoke about this yesterday. If you're all alone, then you don't need an Erev between you. But the moment that there are other people that now define this as a chotzer that has separate batim and that requires an Erev, once it requires an Erev, that requirement is chal on everyone that can be construed as having a separate home. And therefore, since you have a separate home, in that case, even though you're Mekabel Pras from Dadio, nonetheless, in that case is what the Mishnah was referring to. You need every single individual joining the Erev. It had nothing to do with exporting the Erev at all. So, Migo Dahani Asre, Hani Nami Asre. Since the other people would Asre on each other, each one of these brothers is now considered to be in need of an Erev. And therefore, we no longer look at it as, oh, look, oh, it's all one big happy family. And look, think about it psychologically. I mean, you've got a chotzer which only a family lives, and which the father's supporting that family. You look at that chotzer as essentially being like, you know, you give it that name. It's the Johnson's chotzer, you know, nobody else lives there. But once, but once other people live there, then you don't look at it like that. And now it's just a chotzer where they have a lot of homes. Okay, but then each one of those homes has to join in the Erev. That's how I understand. And not only that, it doesn't make sense the way you were learning. It doesn't even make sense because Ochinami Mistavra. Because look how the Mishnah expresses it. The Mishnah itself said, when do we say this? Eimatai bizman shomolichin et eruvam b'mokom acher. Aval imaya eruvam ba'etzlam. So this is the way you understood it so far, right? Then it means to another chotzer. But then it says, O she'ein diurin imahem b'chatzer, or if there's no other people living in the chotzer, then ein tzichin la'arev. So what do you see from those last words? Or if nobody else was in the chotzer. That means that if there were other people in the chotzer, then they do need an erev. So that's good for what I'm telling you. That's the whole point. There are gradations in Erev, so that if nobody else is there, it's sufficient to be Makabli Pras. The moment that there's other people there, then we look at the homes, and each person has its own home, and that's not enough. All right. Anyway, we spoke before, we started talking about the mokum of eating versus the mokum of sleeping when it came to the din of the Tchum Shabbos. Now, this leads also to an interesting similar case, which would have to do with people that learn in yeshiva. And you'll recall that in Europe, the norm was the yeshiva didn't provide meals, and the bochrim would eat what they called kest. Kest would mean that different people in town would give you a meal. And nowadays, you've got this situation, you know, here in Israel where the girls have to all run around finding a place to eat for Shabbos, you know. So there's places where you can always drop in. And this is true here as well. There's like homes that people know. You don't have where to go. You just drop in. You don't even need to make a reservation. They got like 50, 60 people at a meal, and that's part of their fun. Okay, so the question was like this. If there's people that are learning in a yeshiva and they have to go to eat their meals, like all the way down to this valley, which is outside, far away from the yeshiva, it's within the tchum, but they come back to sleep in the dorm. So they spend their Shabbos meals at this, it's like this hotel or this bar nowadays. So if you're going to measure the tchum, do you measure it from the yeshiva dorm or do you measure the tchum from down, all the way down in the valley, which could be like close to a kilometer away. On my laser, Rav Shesha says, definitely where they're sleeping. So he asked him an obvious question. Look, anybody who makes an Erev, where do they sleep? They sleep at home. They put their food outside, right? Like close to 2,000 amas outside of town on one side. Then they go back home. And the next day, then they go out walking past their Erev. So if you're going to tell me that what defines their Makom Shvisa is where they're sleeping, so then you just crossed out the whole din of Erevin. The normal Erev is like you define your Makom of Achila in one place, and then you go back home to go to sleep. So how do you explain that? Because every Noten Eruva is Betol Chalpayim Ama, but he goes and sleeps home. And nonetheless, we measure the Tchum from where his Erev is, which should be like where he's eating. Says the Gemara, I already explained to you before, in the first time that we discussed this issue, that it has to do with what the psychological vision of the person is. Remember the case we were talking about, where people make an Erev is one case. The Yeshiva Talmidim is another case. And the case of the people who are going to sleep outdoors because that's their job and they have to walk home to eat. All depends on what they would essentially prefer. And in each one of the cases, you have to examine the psychology. And that psychology creates an anansahadi. Anansahadi means we can make a look, we're like witnesses to the fact that in reality, this is what they would have preferred. So therefore, in every case, bahu anansahadi, bahada anansahadi, the cases are totally different. In the case where you make an Erev, right? Is it not true that the guy would certainly have preferred not walking back 2,000 amas to his house? I mean, if somebody would set him up right over there at the Erev, right, and say, hey, well, you could stay here and eat here and everything is great, he'd prefer that rather than making an Erev, going back home, then going back again and needing to get up to the Erev in order to walk out of the city in that direction. He could save himself a kilometer of walking. On the other hand, in the case of the guys in the yeshiva, you're telling me you think that the guys in the yeshiva enjoy walking those like an hour walk to get to their seuda and then back again. You don't think that if somebody would have set up a kitchen in the yeshiva where they could have all eaten imaitilu riftel aveirav, they would have preferred that, of course. I'd rather just stay here and go to sleep after the meal. I don't need to walk all the way back. So therefore, of course, the facts don't necessarily define things. It's like where you really psychologically relate to what it is your place. And therefore, none of these kashas really obtain because each one is a separate situation. So Rami Bar Choma asked Rav Chisda. Now, even though it only appears to be two questions here, Rashi explains that there's really three different questions that he is raising. And his first question was like this. An Av Ubno and Rav V'Talmido, do they din have a din of a Rabim or do they did have a din of Yechidim? Now, Legabe, what? I mean, this was the discussion that we just had in the Mishnah. So Rashi understands that the first question over here is, do they, if they are a chotzer that is a pnimi, and they have to walk through another chotzer in order to get out, so is that considered to be an individual because they're all together in their own inner chotzer? Or is that considered to be a separate people walking through your chatzar? And as far as the machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and the Chachomim are concerned, they would be the equivalent of a regal that's aser b'mekomo. What's the din? Now, Tosfos says, I don't believe that. Because, I mean, obviously, the regal that's mutter b'mekomo, no? If there's nobody there except Rav Ubno, Rav Tamido and Av Ubno, so what would be the issue? We know what the din is over there. So therefore, Tosfos says, I can't believe that that's the point. So Tosfos understands that if nobody is in the Mavoi except Av Ubno or Rav Talmido, then the two questions that follow need to be decided what we're going to do. So it's a very different approach. So Tzrichim Eruv, oh, ain't Tzrichim Eruv. Mavoi shelahem nitar belechi v'kora, or in nitar belechi v'kora. So first of all, the question is, if they're the only people, so are they required to make an Eruv? The other question is, if we view them as a single unit, so then remember that one of the things that we need in a Mavoi in order to allow us to carry a Mavoi is that ein Mavoi nitar belechi v'kora ad shiu batim v'chatzerot p'tuchim l'tocha. So when these chatzerot consist of what Barnea just called the chamula chatzerot, So suppose you've got two chatzerot like that. Are those shtei chatzerot with shnei batim p'tuchim l'tocha? Or basically they don't satisfy the requirement, and therefore you do not have a mavoi that can be neter b'lechi v'korah? Amar lei, so he answered, Rav Chista answered, Rami Bar Choma, it says b'feirish, avu b'no rav talmido. Bizman she eni mahem diurin, harein ki yechidim. So this is basically how we're coming out now. If there's no one else that is there, then we view them as yechidim, and they don't require an eruv. And the din is, however, that when it comes to the question of how to look at the mavui, the question of mavui is a more of a the construct idea. And over there, when it comes to the dinim of the mavui, even though they don't need an Eruv, Mavu Shalem is Nitr B'lechi V'Korah. Because look, consider for a moment, if someone else would have been in that Chatzar, so then we said they would have required an Eruv. So that question of someone else is not going to define the nature of the place vis-a-vis the Mavu, is it? Because as far as the Mavu is concerned, all I need to do is I need to look at what is this construct that we call Mavu. It's an alleyway that has openings from chatzeros that have homes, separate homes. All of that is true. We have that. Now you're telling me, yeah, but I mean, it's not really separate homes. Sure, it's separate homes. If anybody else was there, we would look at it as separate homes. So that's not going to make the difference in terms of the structure of the heter of the mavoi for lechi and ikora. Now, here we get to our kapitan, who is going to introduce our next issue, which is so now we finally get to the issue we've been circling around for a couple of days now. What is the interrelationship? And we've quote this. What is the interrelationship between the Erev in the Chatzar and the Shituf in the Mavui? And can you rely on one from the other? Remember, we had all kinds of different explanations, whether the Machlokas is in terms of pot using bread, even for the Shituf of the Mavui, and maybe that might help you for the Erev, as opposed to Yayin, or maybe it's a general Machlokas, and Rebbe Meir holds Bechlau, you can't rely on one from the other. We already quoted the Mishnah that according to Rebbe Meir, we have this very profound a consideration of what the impact is going to be on children that grow up in this environment. And if the children are going to lose track of the dinim of Erevin, then we know we've got a disaster on our hands. So Mimela will force you to do things that you're saying doesn't really make all that much sense. If I already am able to carry from my chatzar into all the adjoining chatzars because I made an Erev between us all through the doors, so why the heck can't I go through the Mavoi? I mean, that's all the Mavoi is doing, right? That's what the Shituf in the Mavoi is doing. Nonetheless, we're worried about the kids losing track of these dinim. Okay, so if we get to our Mishnah at last, we've got Chamesh Chatzerot. They're all open with doors between them. They're Ptuchot Zo L'Zo. And of course, they're independent. And each one of them has their own opening to the Mavoi. And the din is like this. If you made an Eruv in the Chatzerot, meaning even from all of the Chatzerot into each other, not just in a particular Chatzer, and you didn't make a Shituf in the Mavoi, you can carry into the Chatzer and any Chatzer that you want through the Chatzer doors, but you can't go around into the alleyway, walk around and carry into any of the other doors. So they're Mutarim b'Chatzerot and they're Asurin in the Mavoi. Okay, now that seems to be going like Rebbe Meir, right? That we said before, according to Rebbe Meir, you can't rely, you can't subsume one din in the other. And then the Mishnah goes right ahead and contradicts itself. But if you made a Shituf in the Mavoi, then that would allow you to carry in the Chatz. What? So Gemara is going to point out, that's crazy. So then you're contradicting. Either you hold of Rebbe Meir or you don't hold of Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir said each one is independent. You need separate places, both for the Mavoi and for the Chatzeras. So how do you explain that? You can't simply say Gamzula Tova. So, thank you, Gavi. So, Im Nishtatfu B'Mavoi. So then you're Mutarim Kan V'Kan. Irvu B'Chatzeras V'Nishtatfu B'Mavoi. Now, suppose you made the Erev in the Chatzeras and you made the Shituf in the Mavoi, and one of the people in the Chatzar forgot and he did not add his Erev, then you can rely on the Mavoi Shituf for the person who forgot. Oh my God. This is also saying not like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says you can never rely. So how come the Mishnah is saying you can rely? And then it would be okay. So, okay. The din is mutarim kan v'kan. But if one of the people in the Mavoi, meaning one of the chatzeres of the Mavoi, didn't join in the shituf of the Mavoi, then you can carry with the Erev that you have between the chatzeres, but you cannot carry in the Mavoi. Man, oh man. You understand how confusing this is? You're telling me that if somebody in a chatzer forgot, then they can rely on the shituf in the Mavoi. But if somebody in the Mavoi forgot, then they can't rely on the Erev in the chatzer. I'm like, what is the logic over here? And you make it even worse by closing the Mishnah with the words, because the relationship of the Mavoi to the Chatzar is the same as the relationship of the Chatzar to the Batim, which is like a mantra that we've had throughout the sugyas over here. And the meaning of this mantra is that you should not make the mistake of thinking that we have two very different issues, because I understand that a house, a private home vis-a-vis a chotzer, that I could see that very much as going from a completely private rishus hayochid into an area that is being shared as a rishus harabim. But you might have thought that, okay, but a chotzer to a mavoi are both public places, and therefore we should not be that makbid, because both of them are equivalent, much more equivalent than a house to a chotzer. Kamashmalan, no, that is not true. And this is a yesod that we were talking about at length yesterday. The dinim of the Rishuyas are relative to one another. And that's exactly what this Mishnah is pointing out, the relativity of Rishuyas. And even though the first Takona of Erevin did not take into consideration the relative situation, only the dramatic and very egregious difference between a public area, which is mamish, the area of the shvakim and so on, and the rechovot, versus carrying out from either your chatz or your mavui. Once we made the takana, our point was to teach you to understand the relative notion of different spaces. So that, in a sense, this Mishnah is coming to tell me the whole point of Erevin. And it's to tell me that everything is relative. Mavui to chatzer is a relative situation, which equals the same relative connection like chatzer is to batim. All right. Now, how that addresses the previous point is not clear. It's only making clear one thing, namely that if you were left out, that you're not able to carry. But it does not explain why we can't rely on the Erev in order to allow you to carry out in the Mavoi. Why can't we rely on the Eruv Chatzeras, whereas we can rely on the Shituf HaMavos to cover a guy who forgot to join the Erev Chatzeras? But it's clear what the problem is in this Mishnah, right? Full of contradictions. Okay, so the Gemara points out, look, you start off the Mishnah basically telling me Rabbi Meir Shita. Rabbi Meir Shita is, you have to worry but separately about an Erev and a Shituf, okay? So then how do you explain the next case? Im nishtatfu b'mavui, then you say, if you made a Shituf in a Mavui, then you're okay in both cases. What does that mean? That's only true according to the Rabbanan that it's okay in both cases, right? Because the Rabbanan are the ones who say that it's all right to rely on the Shituf. They say you can rely on one. And they say one out of the two is okay. So the B'chod HaSagya. Now that doesn't matter, because that I can understand that the second case in the Mishnah was referring to if they also nishtatfu, not if they only nishtatfu, if they also were nishtatfu in the Mavui, so then they can do both. Fine. All right, even though that's pretty obvious, but it's just the Mishnah wants to stress, but if they didn't do both, don't even think about it. All right. Says the Gemara, all right, even if you want to say that, how do you explain the next case that says, Irvu b'chatzerot, v'nishtatfu b'mavui, v'shachach echad b'mnei ha-chatzer, one guy forgot, didn't join the Erev, he can rely on the Shituf and the Mavui. How do you explain that? I mean, first of all, what do you think it's talking about? Was he mevato rishus or not? Say chidami. If he wasn't mevato the rishus, So then why is anybody mutter if he forgot? I thought you said we can't rely on a shita from the Mavi to cover over the people in the Erev. So, I mean, if you're telling me that he was Mavatal Rishus, then the very last case in the Mishnah doesn't make sense now at all. Because it says in the last case that if one of the Chotzers forgot and didn't join the Shita and the Mavui, then they cannot rely on the Erev of the Chotzer, and they're only able to go ahead and to be Semech on carrying between the Chatzeros, but they can't carry through the Mavui. Now, is it talking about that the guy was Mavato or not? If the guy, I mean, in this case, is the Chatzer. If the Chatzer was Mavato the Rishus, to the other Chatzeros that are opening to the Mavui, so why not? Am I a Serim B'Mavui? I mean, I don't understand. If the case is talking about Bittel, and therefore should work, I'll leave it to Rebbe Meir, so why the heck wouldn't it work in the case where the Chatzer is Mavato the Rishus to the Mavui? Now, I know what you're going to tell. You're going to tell me that Rebbe Meir holds that maybe there's no such thing as a Bittel of Rishus into a Mavui, and that the concept of Bittul Rishus was basically an emergency measure that was instituted for people in a chotzer that won't be able to carry out of their homes. But there was no such institution for people in the Mavi, right? That's what you're going to say. Well, you are totally and absolutely off the wall. Because Rebbe Meir, remember, was the one who reported the story of what Rebbe Gamliel said to his kids in the Mishnah before, which was, this was the bright associated with Rabbi Gamliel's father, but in this case, it was Gamliel himself. And Rabbi Gamliel, it says, we had a tzeduki that lived with us in the Mavui. And it says, Beferish, that he said, you know, hurry up and do what you got to do to be Marsik and Rishus, because he was Mavato Rishus to you. That was Rabbi Meir's version of it, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda's version of it. So that means that Rabbi Meir is Dafka, the one who says you can be Mavato Rishus in a Mavui. So how are you going to explain that? So that's not going to be the answer, right? So then Pshita, it's got to be that he was not Mavato. So if the Sefer is talking about that the Chotzer wasn't Mavato, it's Rishus to the Mavui, then the first case in the Mishnah wasn't saying that if the guy was Mavato Rishus, then you can all carry in the Erev and the Chotzer. It was saying that even if he wasn't Mavato Rishus, the fact that he was Mishtatev in the Mavui is okay and he can rely on that to carry in the Chotzer. Now that's crazy. You started off the Mishnah saying you cannot rely on a shitov and a mavoi to carry in a chatzar, but if somebody forgot and he didn't join, he does rely on the shitov and the mavoi to carry in the chatzar. How do you explain that? That would mean that the first part of the Mishnah, the last part of the Mishnah is Rebbe Meir, that you cannot rely on an erev for a mavoi, on an erev and a chatzar for a shitov and a mavoi, or for a shitov and a mavoi to an erev and a chatzar. That's the opening of the Mishnah and the closing of the Mishnah, right? The middle case that says if a guy forgot, then he can rely on the shita. That's going to Rabbanan. Can you imagine constructing a mission like that? The ratio that safe is Rebbe Meir, and the middle part is going to Rabbanan? No, this is the Gemara. It's all Rebbe Meir. You're forgetting the logic of Rebbe Meir, and you've turned it into some written in stone kind of formula. It doesn't work as a formula. It works as a sfora. Remember that Rebbe Meir had nothing fundamentally against relying on the Mavoi Shitov to define your rights in the Chatzah. The only thing he said was, we don't let you do that because of the impact that it's going to have on the education of children in this Chatzah, right? Okay, in this case, there's not going to be any impact on the children, for heaven's sakes, because they did make an Erev. Rebbe Meir was talking about where they didn't make an Erev. Over here, they made an Erev. They made a sheet of one guy forgot. The guy who forgot is not in a position of ruining the education of the children. So he can rely as an individual on the fact that he did join up with the Shituf. So fine. It basically is all one big happy family with all of these Chatzeres. The fact that he forgot to put in his Erev in his own Chatzer should not be important. And indeed it isn't. Because fundamentally, Rebbe Meir agrees that in terms of the Svara, there's no reason why I can't rely on one for the other. Now, of course, as Tosis points out, we could have just explained away all of these questions as talking about the difference between did we use pot for the Mavoi or did we use Yayin for the Mavoi? And then we can make it work out a Libet of Rebbe Meir, according to the Shita who said earlier that Rebbe Meir's problem was only if we weren't using pot. Why didn't the Gemara first go through that? Because that's normally what the Gemara would do. Ah, so you see that it would only work out a little bit of Rebbe Meir if we use pot, and that would be a riot to those who understood Rebbe Meir earlier, that if it was done with pot, you could. Tosfos says, because the Gemara holds that the meaning of, the simple meaning of the Mishnah is that they made a Meshit of Mavos the way you normally make a Sheet of Mavos. Not that anything in particular was done over here that was otherwise. By the way, I just realized I forgot to mention to you another fascinating svara of the Tosfos earlier, that is mechalik according to Rebbe Meir between utilizing pot for the chotzer is not for the mavoi, is not because pot would have been good enough for the Erev in the chotzer. It's much more than that. It's that because of the fact that the people went out of their way to utilize pot instead of yayin, meant that they were bedafka consciously incorporating the inyonim of their Erev and they're making themselves one when they did that shita in the mavoi, which is an important consideration because that's all part of the one big happy family vision. But once, anyway, so if I'm not going to take that approach, the difference between pot and yayin, then what I will take is that there's a difference between making an Erev and one person being left out or not making the Erev at all. So if you make an Erev and one person left out, and I don't have a problem with the kids not knowing about an Erev because of course they know about the Erev. They were the ones who went out trick-or-treating, so why wouldn't they know about the Erev? But the question would be, why doesn't that work for the chotzer? Why can we say the same thing in that last case? One chotzer forgot to join the shituf. So the kids know that there was a shituf, right? So then it's not going to impact them. So why can't they also, without bitul, rely on the Erev in between the chatzeres to carry in the shituf? Now the Gemara seems to be ignoring that question. So, I mean, like, why, if this works in one direction, doesn't it work in the direction of the shituf as well? And so, okay, I mean, I think it's pretty clear. I mean, the Ritva speaks it out, but I think it's pretty clear to all of us the answer to that. And that is that when you're dealing with an individual who's left out of the Erev in his chotzer, the kids all know about the din of the Erev. But when an entire chotzer is left out of the mavui, then those growing up in that chotzer will not know the din of the mavui. And they'll think that bichlal, generally speaking, you're allowed to carry from a chotzer into a mavui because it happened to be that you had the Erev between the chotzeres, which is not true, only but a Rebbe Meir. So there's a difference between an individual, which is the case of Yochid, that forgot to join the Erev, and a chotzer, on the other hand, where the entire chotzer forgot to join the mavui. Okay? This is, it's amazing how many factors need to be taken into consideration at each one of these levels, the level of interaction, the level of the difference of mechitzas, the level of their connection to the outside world, the number of other mechitzas, of other chatzeres that are interconnected with them, the impact that it's going to have on education, whether it's an individual or whether it's a rabbim, and so on and so forth. These halachas are really extremely, extremely complex because of the number of elements that need to be considered at each particular time. Anyway, Rabbi Yehuda says, look, I just want you to know that the way we read the Mishnah, not everybody agrees. Because we read our Mishnah as having chamesh chatzerot that are ptuchot zulazul. One is open to the other. And that's the point. So if I made an Erev between these various chatzerot, do I still need to make a shita? But you should know that when Rav said over the Mishnah, he left out the words p'tuchot zu l'zu. And Rav Kahana said the same thing, that when Rav taught the Mishnah, he left out the words. Or others say Rav Kahana, when he taught the Mishnah, he left out the words p'tuchot zu l'zu. So Abayas, Rav Yosef, I mean, isn't that the whole point? I mean, I don't understand. Why are you leaving out the words p'tuchot zu l'zu? There's got to be some very powerful reason. I thought the whole thing that we're trying to basically analyze over here is, even if you went ahead and made it possible to carry internally between the doors of the chatzeres, you still can't carry into the mavoi. I mean, so you're losing the impact of that whole part of the interrelationship by leaving out those words. Why the heck would he leave it out? Says Rav Yosef, fascinating thing, that Rav holds that kol shituf she'in machniso umotzio derech ptachim b'mavui, lav shmei shituf. So apparently, Rav must hold that if you have doors and you had actually made a chotzer from one chotzer to the other chotzer. You had made a relationship between all the various mevo'ot, then you cannot make a shituf in the mavui at all. So therefore, we wouldn't have been able to list in the Mishnah having a separate Erev in the mavui. Now, this is weird. I mean, why would that be? So Rashi's understanding of this is like this, that the point of making a shituf in the mavui is that you're creating a relationship between the chatzeros and the mavui. If you don't take in the shituf of the mavui from the mavui into one of the chatzeros, then you can't make that as a shituf because you left out the whole point. The point is to show by your actions that this mavui is an extension of our chatzeros. So if you're not going to bring in from the mavui to the chotzer, so then you can't make a shituf in the mavui at all. And Rav takes this so far is that he says, and even if you did do it correctly, but you could have made it by going from one chotzer to the next chotzer through the doors between them, that is a chashash that I have that you will think at another occasion that that is a good mavui shituf, even though you didn't make the erev between the chatzeros. And therefore, if there are doors that are accessible across all the chatzeros, you can't make a shituf in a mavui. Whew. Wow, that is like a major chiddush, right? So, okay. I mean, the point is, of course, as Tosis points out, what? I mean, then how do you have the whole machlokas of Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan? We're talking about where you make the Erev between the Chatzeros and you made the Shituf. So if you're telling me that there's no such case, if there are doors there, then you can't make a Shituf. And if there are no doors there, then you can't make the Erev. So then where are they arguing if you made an Erev and a Shituf? This is crazy. So Tosfos says, look, you're going to have to say with this pshat that p'tuchot zulazu means with a door. And there in Achinami, you can't do that. And there was no machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan because there's no such case. But suppose there was just a window between one chotzer and the next. So you can't really walk between the chatzeros, right? All you could do is you could pass it through. In order to pass it through, you have to call someone in the other chutz and say, would you stand by the window so I can pass out the Erev to you? That's not the standard way of making a shituf. So because of that, I'm not choshish. For sure, I would go through the door of the mavui, and then I would come around from the mavui to the chutzah. So over there, Rav wasn't choshish. But you understand how dochuk this situation is. That we're now going to be machalic between having a window and between having a door. And that's the difference where there's a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Bonin. Whoa. Okay. But anyway, so the question remains in this case that the only way what we're saying over here is, the only way I would leave out the words p'tuchot zolazu is because of this svara, that a shituf she'ein machniso metzio derech ha'p'tachim b'mavui is not called a shituf at all, which doesn't make any sense. Because the Mishnah before said that if you have a business relationship and you all own wine, b'shut ha'fut, in your winery, then you do not need to make a shituf in your mavui. So where did you ever bring anything in from the mavui into the chatzar, from the chatzar into the mavui? I understand. If you just have the wine there anyway from before that you happen to be in business, listen, you know, you're going to have to say that the guy did a little Indian dance, you know, just on his way in. He was sort of like carrying the wine barrels, and he carried it into this chatzar, and then he carried it out into the mavui, and then they decided to put it into another chatzar. I mean, yes, it is a little weird, but what else can you say? So it must be. He was afke v'aylei. Ask Rabbi Bar Chanan, I don't understand. If a guy has, let's say, a container of bread, right? And he says, okay, I'm being makna my bread, which is out here in the chotzer. I'm being makna my bread to everyone else's chotzer. So you're telling me that he can't do that? And he wouldn't have a shita for the mavi because he didn't parade around with the bread from the chotzer to the mavi, from the mavi to the chotzer? Does that make sense? You know. You'll say, oh, what can you do? None of this makes sense. Maybe that's the din. So v'chitei marchinam, you'll tell me, yes, that's the din. It's not the din. Because Amar Rav Yonah Amar Rav, if you have people that are just sitting around eating before Shabbos, and they all are on the same picnic table, And then all of a sudden, oh my God, it's Shkia. We forgot to make an Erev. It's okay because they can rely on the food that's in front of them as their Erev. So that means that we already have a Suda together, right? So one of the Girsos is Mishum Erev, and others say that what Rabbi Yom Rav says, you can rely on it as a Shituf. And Rabbi explained, yeah, of course, there's no argument over here. If your picnic table was in a house, so then it's only good for the Erev for the Chatzar. Because for a Shituf, it needs to be out in the Chatzar. But if your picnic table was outside in the Chatzar, then it's good for a Mavoi. So how are you going to explain that? You certainly can't tell me that they accidentally, on the way in, paraded around with all of the food, right? Why would they parade around with all the food accidentally? And don't try to tell me that they subsequently paraded around with the food, because as Tosus points out, it's only where the Baal HaShituf originally did this for that purpose. So if nobody had any zechus in it before, it wouldn't have mattered anyway. So that cannot be the reason that Rav left out the din of Ptuchot Zelazeh. The reason that he left it out is for another reason. Because time of the Rav de Kasavar, ain mavoi nitu b'lechi v'kora, ach yubatim v'chatzerot petuchim l'tocho. It's simply because the whole thing breaks down. If I made an Erev between all of the chatzeros that open into the mavoi, I can't carry the mavoi. Why? Because it's all one chatzer. Virtually, in terms of the halacha, I turned the entire construct over here of these different chatzeros that are opening into the mavoi as one chatzer, with one bias, because they're all interrelated. So where do I get the heter for the mavoi if now they're all, I'm not able to rely on my lechi v'kora? Okay, this is what we'll get into tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, and we're finally getting to the crunching details of the interrelationships of Rishuyas, different kinds of spaces, different kind of financial relationships, emotional relationships, chazakas about what you would rather have had, all of which become central to understanding your space, whether it's in terms of mavli and even the din of lechi v'kora, or whether it's in terms of your mokum and an eruv, or whether it's in terms of your tchum for Shabbos. We now see the deep interrelationship between your concept of what your space is between all three of the dinim in eruv that we've been talking about.